KFRS Sports Reel. This is the AFRS Sports Reel, another Blackboard session devoted to the human element in sports for those renowned MSCs, Masters of Sports Lore, Bill Stern and Bill Brandt. Grab your notebooks, because here's Professor Bill Stern to put the lie to that old wives' tale about dumb athletes. Bill?
This is a story as told to me of great athletes who became far greater in other fields, but let's begin the story. Years ago, there was a ball player playing professional baseball who wanted to be a great pitcher, and he might have been a great pitcher if he hadn't broken his arm. But because he did break his arm, he had to learn to use his other arm. And when he began using his other arm, he found that with his other arm, he could draw. He could draw beautifully, something he never would have known but for a broken arm in baseball. Today, his drawings are famous, for he is, believe it or not, Bob Ripley. Now, let me tell you the story of one of England's greatest cricket players. He, too, was reputedly a fine athlete. That is, he was a fine athlete until one day he was badly injured in a cricket game. His kidney was smashed. One of his lungs was punctured. He almost bled to death. In fact, he was so badly injured that he was forced to stay in bed for 12 years. During those 12 years in bed to pass the time away, he began to try to write. And he was so successful with his writings that he made over $1 million. For this man, who never would have become a writer but for an athletic accident, is today one of the most famous authors in the world. You know him as H.G. Wells. Strange, isn't it, that athletic accidents should make famous writers out of H.G. Wells and Bob Ripley? But even stranger is the story of Charles Dodson. Charles Dodson loved to race. He loved to race sailing boats. And one day, Charles Dodson had a group of children in his racing boat. When a storm suddenly blew up, the children reputedly became frightened of the storm. And to calm them down, Charles Dodson began to tell these children stories. Stories that he was making up on the spur of the moment. The children forgot their fears as they listened to these stories. However, when he was back on shore, Charles Dodson remembered these stories that he'd made up for those children. And because they'd liked them so much, he decided to put these stories down on paper. He wrote under the name of Lewis Carroll, and those stories that he invented in his racing boat that day to calm the children were destined to become the most famous children's stories ever written. You know those stories as Alice in Wonderland. But up to now, these have been stories of athletes who became writers. Now let me tell you the story as told to me of a writer who became an athlete. But this is the story of a writer who didn't want to go on writing, but wanted to race automobiles. And finally, this writer gave up writing and bought a racing car. One day in this car, this driver was doing better than 90 miles an hour when suddenly the car hit an oil patch. The front wheels began to skid. The brakes wouldn't hold. The car was out of control. Desperately, the driver tried to hang on as she crashed into a concrete wall. The driver of that car was lucky, very lucky to be alive. But that smash-up was so bad that even though the newsreel cameraman had taken full pictures of it, those newsreels could not be shown in any theaters. But even though those newsreels couldn't be shown in the theaters, one newsreel executive did look at these films, and while he was horrified at these pictures of the smash-up, nevertheless, from what he saw on the screen, according to the story, he was so impressed with the face of that auto driver that he ordered that this driver be given a screen test. And, as a result of that screen test, this racing driver was offered a Hollywood movie contract. For you see, that driver was a girl who, thanks to those newsreel pictures of a racing accident, is today one of Hollywood's most famous stars. You know her as Lucille Ball. And here she is in person, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's great star, Miss Lucille Ball.
Thank you, Bill. I'll tell you something else about the automobile accident I was in. They told me I'd never walk again.
And you not only walk perfectly, Lucille, but you're quite a sports enthusiast, too.
Well, I like to play tennis.
Go on, Lucille. What else?
Oh, I like badminton and horseback riding.
Any other sports?
Yes, I like to swim and ride an aquaplane.
I hear, Lucille, that you are quite a fisherman, too.
Hey, look, as your guest, I thought it was my right to ask you questions.
You're right, it is. Go ahead, Lucille.
Well, is it true that Bob Ripley started his Believe It or Not drawings because he couldn't play baseball?
Yes, that is absolutely true.
And how about Alice in Wonderland being written only because its author had some children out in a boat race?
Well, now, that's a very hard story to check, Lucille, but as near as we could find out, that is the legend of how those stories began.
Thank you, Bill Stern. And now let's listen to Bill Once-in-a-Lifetime Brandt. He's going to take us behind the scenes of a dramatic World Series that some of you may remember.
Here's a lesson Jimmy Dykes can learn from Joe McCarthy, two big league managers stepping out of their jobs the same weekend. McCarthy, the New York Yankees, Dykes, the Chicago White Sox. Jimmy Dykes won't have to go to school or even write a letter. Just go back to the big day of his own life, 17 years ago, a sunny Saturday afternoon in Philadelphia, October 12, 1929. There's that lesson. Here's Dykes and here's McCarthy, a couple of Philadelphia boys. It's the World Series, and they're both in the World Series for the first time. Joe McCarthy's here today as manager of the Chicago Cubs, the National League champions. Jimmy is playing third for the Athletics, American League champions. The Dykeses and the McCarthys and all their neighbors and friends, they're here lined up on opposite side of the fence, rooting hard, and it's a red-hot fight. Starting out this game today, the edge is with Philadelphia, 2-1. But look, this is a McCarthy day. Here's Joe laughing. His Cubs are hammering the daylights out of Connie Mack's pitchers. 2 runs in the 4th inning, 5 runs in the 6th. And another in the 7th. It's 8-0 when the home crowd stands up the stretch. But this home crowd is licked and it knows it. Yes, it's all McCarthy and the Cubs from here on. Look at those McCarthy sluggers. Rogers Hornsby from Winters, Texas. National League's greatest hitter since Honus Wagner. Hack Wilson, the home run champion from Martinsburg, West Virginia. Hoss Stephenson from Akron, Alabama. Kai Kyler from Harrisville, Michigan. They hammered their way through the National League like a traveling thunderstorm. Philadelphia pitchers stopped them at the start of this World Series, but here they go now. They'll never stop now. Yes, this is a McCarthy day. It's Joe's first World Series, and he's heading for his first World Championship. Ahead, 8-0, in the middle of the 7th inning. The Dykes fans and all the Philadelphia fans are standing up to take a stretch, but their hearts are, heads are hanging low. Their hearts are sad. Look, here's the first batter for the Athletics in the 7th, Al Simmons from Milwaukee. And Al belts a home run, a drive that hits the roof of the left field grandstand. Now listen, that yell, derision, sarcasm, a home run with nobody on base, and the score 8-0 against us. Even the McCarthy rooters chip in on that yell. Hit a couple more and see how much it gets you. We got 8 runs. It's a 7th inning. So up comes the second batter, Jimmy Fox, from Sudlersville, down on Maryland's eastern shore. You hit a homer too. Fox, go ahead, get exercise. But Fox hits only a little single. Then Bing Miller from Benton, Iowa, another single. And now Dykes, the hometown boy. Come on, Jimmy, yell the Dykes fans. Yeah, Jimmy, come on, double play, yell the McCarthy rooters. But Jimmy plunks one safe to left field, another single, another run. Now Joe Boley from the coal region, Mackinac City, Pennsylvania, another single. The score is 8-3 now. The McCarthy rooters are getting uneasy. Hey, Joe, how about it? Better get another pitcher. But Joe McCarthy is this kind of a manager. He sticks with his men. Here's his ace, Charlie Root, the husky power pitcher from Middletown, Ohio. McCarthy's best man all season. Charlie whitewashed these Athletics. 6 solid innings. Joe doesn't want to take Root out of the box. So Root stays in. And here's a Philadelphia pinch hitter, George Burns. He's a Philadelphia boy like McCarthy and Dyke. He's batting for the Philadelphia pitcher. And Charlie Root puts on the steam. George Burns pops a little fly to shortstop. 1 out. The McCarthy crowd relaxes. That's more like it. Come on now, Charlie, get these next 2. Let's get on with the last 2 innings. But now comes Max Bishop, a Baltimore boy and the Athletics leadoff man. Bang! Why, that's another single. And the Dykes crowd sets up a wild din as their boy Jimmy comes prancing home. Score, 8-4. And now McCarthy stops the game. Charlie Root walks to the bench. The new pitcher is Art Neff, the old lefty of the Giants in McGraw's great days half a dozen years before. Neff from Terre Haute, Indiana. Here's some left-handed swingers coming up for Philadelphia. Southpaw Neff is the answer. Left-hand pitching to stop left-handed hitting. But the first left-hand swinger is Mule Hawes from Montclair, New Jersey. Mule punches a liner to center field. A low-flying drive that looks like an easy catch for Hack Wilson. Look at Hack rushing in to get under it. The McCarthy crowd begins cheering. This means 2 out. But look, Wilson stops running. Now he starts again. Yes, Hack loses track of that ball for just an instant. He runs, a desperate dive, but the ball hits the grass. It gets past Wilson. It rolls on and on across center field, way out. Mule Hawes goes full gallop around those bases. Boley and Bishop ahead of him. Mule Hawes tramps on home plate before the ball gets back. A home run. 3 runs. Now the score is 8-7. And now it's a red-hot game. 1 out, but the Cubs are still 1 run ahead and the bases are empty. Now let's get them out, McCarthy. Get these next 2 batters and we'll be safe. But Mickey Cochran from Bridgewater, Massachusetts, gets a base on balls from Art Neff. Now it's Simmons up the bat again. A right-handed hitter. a home run hitter, up to bat for the second time this inning. Joe McCarthy takes out lefty Nett. Here's a right-handed pitcher, Sheriff Blake, John Fred Blake from Anstead, West Virginia. Blake holds Simmons to a single. Now Fox hits a single. Cochran skims home. Tie score, 8-8. Now McCarthy's desperate. Get in there, Pat. And in comes big Pat Malone from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Pat was being saved for the next game, but this is emergency. Gotta win this one. Stop those bats cold. Knock them off. And Malone faces Bing Miller, and Pat burns it over, everything he had. Miller ducks, but the ball hits his shoulder, and Miller goes to first base, hit by pitch ball. And that sets the stage for local boy Jimmy Dykes. And here he is, at bat in the World Series pinch. The base is full. High score. Now, Jimmy Dykes is not supposed to be a great hitter. He's down deep in the batting order, batting seventh. And here's the supreme test of Jimmy Dykes. Well, Jimmy Dykes meets the test. Boom, it's a drive to left field. A liner along the foul line, a two-bagger. Simmons and Fox roll home. That's two runs. Score 10-8. And that's it. That's all. That's the final score. 10-8. Philadelphia wins, and the Dykes two-bagger did it. Now, this is one of the shining landmarks of all-time baseball history. A 10-run rally in the World Series. 10 runs in one inning. The all-time record. And Dykes is the hero. And here is the lesson. This is the biggest day in the baseball life of Jimmy Dykes. His first World Series, he delivers the deciding blow. But it's also the first World Series for Joe McCarthy. And it's the end of Joe McCarthy's job. Before the next year is over, McCarthy is out. Chicago has a new manager. It's the end of the trail for Joe McCarthy. That's what everybody says. He's through. Well, today in 1946, Dykes faces the same prospect as McCarthy faced in 29. What's the answer? The lesson. Well, after McCarthy is out in Chicago, he was just beginning. The end of McCarthy's Chicago trail was just the start of a new McCarthy career. Look at the book, the all-time record book. McCarthy, 7 World Championships. More than any other manager in baseball history. 4 in a row. That's a record, too. All after McCarthy was out of Chicago. So if Dykes is out of Chicago now, out of his White Sox job, there's still a lot of room, some other city. That all-time record book is still wide open. And that's what Jimmy Dykes can learn from Joe McCarthy. All he has to do is go back to 1929 and take a look forward. Forward from that day when Dykes was the hero and McCarthy was on the way out. That 10-run World Series rally that happened once in a lifetime.
That was fine, Bill Brandt. Well, fans, the clock just threw up its hands and said it's time to wind up our sports reel for today. But we'll be returning your way soon with more close-ups by your favorite sports authorities. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.